This morning's gospel reading comes to us out of the 17th chapter of John. 17th chapter of John is a prayer. The whole thing is a prayer, and it's a prayer for us. It's called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. This is done, recorded for us from his time before, just before his arrest and crucifixion in Jerusalem. So this is the time. He's already told his disciples what's going to happen. He's already had the Last Supper. You might want to say this is the Garden of Gethsemane, good enough, but there it is. He's praying for us the entire 17th chapter. When you get a chance, read it. But we have to look at this because Christ's prayer here is for special people. He declared that he did not offer any kind of universal intercession. I pray for them, he says. My prayer is not for the world, but for those whom you have given me, because they belong to you. That's the recipient or the object of the prayer. So the question might be on your mind, who are these them and they? Well, number one, the disciples. Number two, the disciples that were made disciples by the disciples. Number three, the disciples that were made by the disciples that were the disciples. And I could keep going, but let's just kind of, what's it called, an ellipse? Dot, 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 kind of thing. Okay, let's ellipse this puppy down to you. Who be the they? They be you. The favorite individuals that share the Savior's prayer. They become stones, precious stones on the breastplate of Christ. The circumstances are that we get mentioned on the lips of our Savior. The people for whom Christ prays are not really earthly people. Now, in parentheses, I don't mean they're aliens. I don't mean that they're extraterrestrials. It's just that they're not bound in earthly things. They are not of this world, he says, even as I am not of this world. Well, this portion of chapter 17, we hear this morning three particular things. Jesus prays for our security. He prays for our deliverance, and he prays for our sanctification. Three things we need to take individually. He says early on, now I'm departing from this world. I am departing from this world. I'm leaving them behind and coming to you. Holy Father, keep them and care for them, all those you've given me, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I have kept them safe. I've guarded them so that not one has been lost except for the one headed for destruction, the son of perdition. And as the scriptures foretold, and now I am coming to you, I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. That's just the first couple of verses. In this section of his prayer, we get something quite unique. This is the only time in John, the only place in John, where we hear Jesus use the term Holy Father. I particularly like that image right here in this verse, these verses in chapter 17. Because the image of God that it brings with his all power and all might watching over each one of us with the affection of a father. We have the guarantee that God will keep the saints from the evil one and the evil of this world the way a father tries to protect his family. Now there's two different translations that are used in scripture for the word keep. As it's used in verse 12, one meaning is I preserve. The other meaning is, I guarded. So Jesus is simply reminding the Father, while I was with them, I guarded them as a means of their preservation. And he goes on to say, now that I'm leaving the world, and I come to you, Father, preserve them in your name. We are to persevere to be preserved in his name. You kind of see this the way parents work. If you've raised your children, you kept them safe in your home, and they're about to go off to college and leave the safety of your house behind, you care for them by simply asking God the Father to protect them every day. But now, they move. You can continue to pray, but you can't be the active part. Only the Father can be. And that's what's important about this particular prayer. The Lord, watch over the ones you placed in my care. I give that duty back to you. Back to you, Holy Father. What we see here, what we see from Jesus here, when he prays this particular prayer for us, we'll truly see the Savior's heart and the Savior's love for us, even within hours of his death. Well, then he prays for deliverance. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because of it. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Now, they're not part of the world any more than I am. It's a rough translation of what he says. Well, twice in this particular section, Jesus reminds the Father that they are not of the world. You are not of the world. Jesus' prayer here is that one of deliverance to God, saying, keep them from the evil one. You can, if you wish, substitute Satan. You can, if you wish, just keep them from evil. The idea here is Jesus is asking God to protect us from Satan, who is the prince of this world. And we know that as parents, one of the fears that we deal with and what kinds of temptations that we've been protecting our kids from, and what are they going to fall into when they leave home. We try and watch what they see, what they do, what they are looking at. We don't want our kids to be exposed to the sickness that's lurking out there in the world. But we know once they leave our side, Satan will try and expose them to all the trappings of the world has to offer, the temptations. So Jesus simply prays, Lord, protect them. Protect them from the father of lies. And Jesus prays, Father, help them, because they are not part of the world any more than I am. And he's speaking about you. Well, the third piece of this is a prayer for sanctification. In verse 17 through 19, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctified, sanctification. While conversion and justification is a one-time act, it's a decision. Sanctification is a lifetime process and determination. A lifetime process. A missionary in India once said, conversion is the act of a moment and the work of a lifetime. And that's the sanctification. Sanctification is merely being set apart. Being set apart for a particular purpose. Those of you that grew up in a household where the mother or father, it doesn't matter which, happens to have a particular interest in things that require tools. And you know that, if my case, Dad's toolbox, the particular toolbox was his tools. Don't touch. Everything else was okay, but don't touch those. I particularly realized that I probably should not have taken out a hammer and gone to the tree in the back and nailed something in, I have no idea what, and put the hammer down in the grass and left it there for a week or so. Probably not a good idea. Dad reminded me that that was not a good idea. The tools were set aside for a particular purpose. Not putting a nail in a tree. They were sanctified for that purpose. We can dress up sanctification with all sorts of religious kind of stuff, but it just means being set aside for a purpose. You have been set aside for a purpose. And we either do that, or we may as well just go lay in the grass and rust. Sanctification is that day in and day out process. It's not about living a clean life or a perfect life, but it's living an obedient life. The attraction of the world, the weaknesses of the flesh, the onslaught of the devil, and the daily battles. It involves purifying the whole life of that of a person or a thing to the service of God. In the Old Testament, it usually conveyed the idea of making something sacred, usually by burning of incense or sacrifice or something. It does not mean to purify as being pure from sin. And we get in this morning's reading that Jesus purified himself even though he had no sin. And he set himself apart as of that sacrificial offering, set apart for God, so that we, his followers, might also be set apart for the purpose of God. Sanctification is not about avoiding or escaping the world, but it's about yielding and surrendering to God. The world, the word world is very prominent in Jesus' prayer. He uses the world 20 times in this one chapter. Our weapons against the world's beliefs and values and attitudes are found in our prayers to God. Obedience to his word, understanding the power of his name. Being set apart also doesn't mean that we're stored away. We will suffer the bumps and bruises of life in this world. The key word to describe the effect of being sanctified in Jesus is overcome. A particular word that he uses in the last verse of the last chapter in chapter John 16, where Jesus said, I have overcome the world. It's interesting that word overcome uses the root of nike. And in Greek, it's a noun for victory. A change of that nika is that he has overcome, as in used in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that we are more than conquerors. In Christ, we are overcomers. In Christ, we are conquerors and we are victorious. Without him, we're not. So with that in mind, let's look at our role as believers in this world through the eyes or lens of John 17. First, we're given to Christ out of this world, but we're left in this world, but we're not of the world. We'll be hated by the world, kept from the world, sent into the world to preach Christ to the world. A prayer for security, a prayer for deliverance, and a prayer for sanctification. Jesus wants us to live as children of God and promises to give us the strength to face whatever comes. Remember to pray for those around you and those who are far away. Pray that we and they will be protected in our faith and that we'll be sanctified, even if that means that sometimes we need to be just a little weird. Remember that we are the salt and the light to this bland and dark world. Remember that Jesus is praying for us, praying for you, that all the power of God may be within you. There's nothing that has power beyond the power of God. Nothing. Remember that God is truth, and then we will be like those who are called in the first psalm, that tree. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. They're like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in due season. We are called, blessed, and sanctified in his word to be his people here and now, to bring others to that sanctifying relationship with God. Be that tree. Bear the fruit in due season. In his most holy name. Amen.